you have your scriptures this morning, I would ask you if you would please find Psalm 113. We'll start in Psalm 113. Also, find, if you would, the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, Psalm 113 and Acts 17. I do plan on turning you to quite a few passages this morning, and maybe if you're unable to follow along and turn as quickly, you would grab a pen and write some of these verses down and use them for your study a little bit later or throughout the week, especially as you are celebrating our independence as a nation today. And I'm preaching a message this morning simply entitled, Our Nation. And I'm preaching the message today about our nation, but to encourage God's people and to give us some hope and steadfastness and understanding and some purpose. Most of the national polls, as we move toward the election of a new president in our country, most of the polls that I have seen have in unity the fact that most Americans believe that our country is headed in the wrong direction. Most of the polls suggest that we know we're not going in the right direction, but we're not too excited about making a lot of changes about that. It's interesting how even a unsaved world, or what I will call a world without Bible knowledge, can understand that America is headed a different direction than it once was. I would agree with that. I think God's people would agree with that. But I will still say, I believe that we're the greatest country on the earth. If you're proud to be an American, say amen. It's kind of interesting. I did this in the 8:30 service. How many were born in the United States? You were born as a citizen in the United States. All right. How many came to our country and became a citizen of the United States? In the first service, it was 60-40. Here, it's about 75-25. You can't believe everything you hear on television. That really, in a nutshell, will be enough message to send you home. You can't believe everything you hear on television. And on television, our airways are telling us, and it may be true, that we are a hated nation, a disrespected nation, and so on and so forth. However, if we're that bad, why every day do people risk their lives to get here? Why do they sell everything they have and do what they need and whatever they can to reach our shores? I don't want you to lose your pastor's heart today, because I'm not against our country. I love our country. However, to a believer, the greatest love of our heart must be the Lord Jesus. And I would say that churches have to be careful that we do not substitute patriotism for the Word of God. What does that mean? That means that we must have a biblical perspective, not only about our nation, but all the nations of the earth. You know, as I read the Word of God, and I did this week, I took a concordance and I looked up the word nation and nations. And as I began to read the verses of the Bible that talk about nation and nations, I began to be overwhelmed and impressed and moved with how truly great our God is. When you read about God in His position and His perspective and His power when it comes to the world nations, you will begin to be moved about the fact that even though the world is in chaos, our God is still seated on the throne. And He is in control and He is all powerful. And as we watch the nations come together in unity. By the way, we're watching this unfold in our very eyes. you are hearing words like world economy, globalization. We've seen the effects of one nation making a choice on its own to pull out of the European Union, and you have seen the recoil that has sent even all the way across the oceans into our own land. And the whole world is upset because Britain makes a choice to withdraw itself from a world organization. Now understand this. There will be a day that all the worlds will align under the authority of one man, and that man will be the Antichrist. And every nation, including our own nation, will align with the Antichrist. And you can see in your lifetime and in the moments that we live, how that the world is forming into one. It's a mass moving together. And in that, there's a pride and an arrogance that is developing in these nations. So much so that when the Antichrist walks into the temple of the Jews in the middle of that tribulation period and declares himself to be God, the nations will fall down and worship him. From our vantage point, if we did not have the Word of God, we could almost be fooled into believing that God is losing the battle. But I don't know about you. When I was in school, I had to do book reports. I hated book reports. I would read chapter number one and the last chapter and make up the best story you ever saw to fit in the middle. Well, I have read chapter one and I've read the whole book and I've read the last chapter, and I got news for you. We're on the winning team with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here's my desire this morning. Pastor, I'm one man. I'm one woman. We're just one family. And it seems like every decision our nation makes is out of our control. It seems like we have no influence or no reach in a direction of our country. And just to some degree, courses are set and we're just along for the ride. There is a course set. And the course that is set is that there will be a judgment of the nations, and there will be the ruling of the Lord Jesus over those nations. And there's a course that is set where everything will be brought under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. But my dear friend, you and I as individuals can have and should have influence in our nation. And I want to encourage you about that. Pastor, what should we be doing? We're voting, but it doesn't seem to be working. And most of that is not our problem. It's the politicians' problem. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but politicians are one thing before an election and another thing after. They make all the promises in the world, and we elect them based on those promises, whatever your position is. Then when they get in there, they don't do very much. And so I'm so glad that my hope is not in a politician. Our hope is in the Lord. And so lest you think that the world is somehow going to come together in some organization and become so powerful and so aggressive that it will overtake God himself, read with me Psalm 113, verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord 3 times. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Now watch this in verse number 4. The Lord is high above, what's that next word? All nations, and his glory above the heavens. And so, my friends, the nation may come together, the nations will come together, and they will form their organizations, and they will make their plans, and they will make their strategies, and they will head their direction. But over and above them, there stands one supreme. He's God Almighty. Look, if you would, at Psalm 117, verse number 1. Once again, the nations are commanded here from the scripture. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. When the Bible uses the word nations, it's talking about people groups. And the Bible says that all nations, including the United States of America, have the responsibility to praise the Lord. They have the responsibility not only to praise him with their words, but they need to praise them in their heart, in their deeds, and in their understanding. And I would submit to you that I think our nation has, as a whole, lost its course in praising the Lord. We no longer will tolerate his word anywhere. We no longer tolerate any symbol of his authority. We no longer tolerate the doctrine of the word of God. And there is an all-out war, my friend, and it's not on women, and it's not on the economy, and it's not on a Republican or a Democrat. There is a war on the word of God. And we better understand that. The nations have a responsibility to praise the Lord. Our nation has that responsibility to do as well. Why, Pastor? Look, if you would, please, now at Acts chapter 17. Why do they have the responsibility to praise the Lord? I have two great truths here from the Apostle Paul that will show you that answer. In Acts 17, verse number 22, the Apostle Paul is preaching that famous message on Mars Hill. There's a truth in this message that you better not miss. I go by it all the time. I'm going to give you the verse that supports it. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God." They were worshiping an altar and they didn't even know the God of that altar. "Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Now the Apostle Paul is going to declare unto them the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 24. "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things." Now watch verse 26. "And hath made of one," what's that word? "Blood. And hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations." Now listen very carefully. This verse destroys racism. I know the world wants to offer racism. I know they want to use it as a political correct tool. There is bigotry. There is hatred. There is envy. There is all kinds of selfishness. There is evil that comes from within a man's heart toward another man. And whatever motivates that, whether it be the success of a man, the color of a person's skin, where they live, the country they were born, all of those things are real and all of those things are sinful. However, red, yellow, black, or white, all men and women were created by God. And God, the Bible says that God made of one blood. You want to find unity in this world? Just cut each other. We all bleed the same color. Okay? Nations are individuals. Now you've got tribes and you've got different dialects and you've got different cultures and you've got all these things. But there's one race, and that is the human race. Now the enemy wants to bring this up into humanity and dissect us and divide us and breed hatred so that there's a distancing between one another. But when my Jesus died on that cross, he died for every human. That's right. It's one blood, he made the nations. And because the nations were created by God, they have a responsibility to praise God. Now, I want to say something to our parents out there about this. The Bible teaches that men and women were created by God. By the way, if God created you a man, you will stand before him as a man. You and all your woman parts. If God created you a woman, you can stand there with all the man parts you want to stand there with. But you will be judged the way that God created you. Let me say a word about evolution. The world has submitted to evolution. They have devoured it. They have given themselves to it. They have lifted it up not only as a creative act, but they've lifted it up almost as a religion. And there is a denial of the nations that God created them. Every Christian parent ought to be concerned with evolution. Mom and dad, you cannot let your kids sit under a teacher who teaches them evolution, which denies your God and have no influence in their life. You can have them in those schools if that's where you want them. You can put them there. But if your kid comes home and there is, and you do nothing to stand in the way or to give biblical perspective for evolution, you have fallen short of your biblical responsibility. Evolution is evil. If we believe the word of God, we believe that. I know it's quiet in here. If you believe in evolution, you have to discount Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and the whole Bible. So God said, every nation has the responsibility to praise him. Our nation has the responsibility to praise him. One of the reasons our nation, one of the things that our nation had to do to align itself and to get what it wants as far as an evil direction is they had to snip off the belief that God created men and women. Because if you believe God created you, then you're going to have to stand and give an account to God. And so they've come after the creation of God. I will say this about that. They have the reason to praise. Now what they've done, not only have they gone after the creation of the God, but you better check your kid's history book. Mom and dad, get involved in the education of your child. Get your child's history book and lay it open and read it and see if it's correct. Not only are they trying to deny God as creator, there's this movement to try to deny God in the creation of our country. I got news for you. Our country was founded on biblical principles. It was founded by godly people. Who in this room has been to Washington, D.C.? Who has not been to Washington, D.C.? What are you waiting for? Go. Go. I dare you to go to Washington, D.C. Go to Washington, D.C. Park yourself right in front of the Washington Monument. Go from the Washington Monument to the Jefferson Memorial to the Lincoln Memorial. Go to the Hall of Records. It's not called that, but it's that building where the Declaration of Independence is. What was it? Archives. Thank you. The building of archives. And read and listen to the quotes of our founding fathers. Every man, to God be the glory. God credit. God's right. God created us. What's coming out of Fox News and CNN and what's coming out of MSNBC and the description of what's in Washington, D.C. is not what's really there. When you go to the heart of that city, you will find that God was influential in the creation of our nation. Why would an American citizen not go find out where we came from? Go to Washington, D.C. Take me with you. Have a responsibility to praise the Lord. Go to Romans chapter 16. This is all introduction. Romans chapter 16, Paul gives us another truth here in verse number 25 and 26. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God. Now watch the end of verse 26. Made known to all, what's the word there, class? Nations. For the obedience of faith. The Apostle Paul is saying that Jesus Christ has been preached. He has been preached to all nations, and he was preached to all nations for the responsibility of them to respond in obedience with faith in the Lord. Now listen, as the world is coming together, it is getting emboldened. The audacity, the pride and the arrogance of our nations as they're forming, and I'm afraid our nation being drug into it, is the fact that they are accountable to no one. And as these world organizations look out and they see no earthly equal power, nobody's looking up at the supreme power of the Lord, there's this audacity that is building in their way. But I found some verses in the Bible that nations better remember, and our nation better remember this. Find, if you would, Psalm 9. Go to the book of Psalms. You have to read these with your own eyeballs. Psalm 9. We'll stay in the book of Psalms for a couple of passages. Psalm 9, verse number 17. The Bible says, the wicked shall be turned into hell. That's the word Sheol, or destruction, or the grave. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that, what are those two words? Forget God. That forget God. God has always let the nations of the world know that they better remember him. Matter of fact, when the nation of Israel went into the promised land, the number one thing God said, when you get over there and you get rich and you get fat, and your stomach's so full that you can't hardly breathe, don't forget me. And the Bible says that a nation that forgets God is a nation that sets themselves up for destruction. I would submit to you that America is on a course to forget God. As evolution is being taught, as the history books are being rewritten, there is a verse in the Bible that talks about the nation of Israel when they were in Egypt. And you remember how Joseph blessed them, and Joseph was used of them, and Pharaoh and Joseph had this good relationship. Well, Pharaoh, over the years, passes, and Joseph passes. The Bible says there arose a generation of the Egyptians who knew not Pharaoh and knew not Joseph's thing, and they began to turn and have a bondage upon the nation of Israel. And that's what's happening in our nation. Our young people don't know where we came from. They don't understand the word of God. They don't understand the biblical direction. And it's not going to be long, and we're going to be void of this word and void of the gospel that we, you and I, have grown up on. That ought to concern God's people. That ought to concern you, save mom and dad. Your responsibility is that your children will carry forth in the teaching that you have taught them. Our nation needs to be reminded that we get in trouble when we forget God. The problem is nations get powerful. Look at verse number 20. And when they forget God, they forget something about themselves. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but what, class? Men. Men. Wow. The Bible says you can organize yourself as a nation, and you can organize yourself against God, and you can organize yourself with all of the security in yourself. But when it boils down to it, you're just a man and you're just a woman, and all men and women will stand before God. Now, I got news for you. Every person in this room is going to stand before God. When you stand before God, you will stand before him naked. And I use the word naked this way. You will have no success to offer him, and you will have no excuse to hide behind. And you will have to give an account for what you did with the Lord Jesus Christ. In our lives, we're secured by comfort, we're secured by companions, we're secured by country, whatever it is. But understand this, we're just men. We're flesh and blood created by God. Do you understand that the next time the world sees the Lord Jesus, they will see him coming with vengeance? You understand what vengeance is? And all of the powerful people that are leading us to forget God, that are leading the world in that direction, will stand before God as a man. And the Bible says that a sword will go out of his mouth and their life will be like that. I was sharing my message with Brother Malcolm before the service, and we were talking about what it will be like to stand before God. And he reminded me of what the 10 spies said when they came out of Egypt. When they came out of the Canaan land, they said, "We be but grasshoppers in their sight." Any man, no matter his political position on the earth, king, president, corporate tycoon, whatever the world has to afford, when you stand before God, you will be nothing but a grasshopper. We think we're powerful in of ourselves, but I got news for you. You think you got your whole life planned? You think you're in control? If you could prove something to me, then I'll stand with you. I want you to leave the service. I want you to go down to the Fort Lauderdale beach. That's dangerous in of itself. I want you to wade out till you're about waist deep. Depending on your size, that'll be the different level. And I want you to put out your hands, and I want you to stop the waves from coming. And I want you to hold the ocean back. And then I'll think something of you. Then when you're done with that, I'd like you to position yourself somewhere in the world, and I want you to hold up this planet with your two hands. I want you to go over there in the morning, and I want you to push the sun up, and I want you to push it down. I want you to bring the moon up and let it go down. And when we're hot, I want you to blow and let wind go across the whole earth. And then when all that's said and done, I want you to go up there and rearrange the stars. And I want you to go up there and find and explain to us all the galaxies and the planets. When you can do all of that, we will think something of you. Until then, bow your knee to Jesus Christ. God said, you better remember, you're just a man. You're just a man. Psalm 33, verse number 12, is another verse that the nations better remember. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I want the Lord, our God, to be the Lord in our nation. I'm afraid for our nation. I'm afraid that we've had God's blessed hand upon us. I think that's because we've honored the Lord. But I don't necessarily believe that's the way we're being led right now. And I don't blame that on Mr. Obama. I don't blame that on the political leaders of our day per se. This is just the way that the nation has been led for some time. And by the way, leaders are elected by the people. Leaders are a reflection of the people. I know God sets up the leaders, but God gives nations leaders like the people. It's not just our leadership's fault. We better remember that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the family whose God is the Lord. I want you to look, if you would, at Proverbs 14, verse number 34. Proverbs 14, verse 34. Come on, turn with me. You don't have to come to church tonight. You get the evening off. Proverbs 14, look at verse 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now, there is righteousness within our land as far as God's people. But when a nation begins to exalt evil or an exalts rebellion, I can take you to Psalm 66 and verses 1 to 7, and it talks about exalting themselves and being a rebellious people. Righteousness is exalted in a nation, really and truthfully, through the laws of that nation. Now, God's people, listen. You will give an account for who you vote for. You will give an account. I don't say a lot about this, but you will give an account. And I don't tell you who to vote for because, the truth be told, I don't trust any of them. As a matter of fact, here's what the devil has done. The devil is really afraid of the power of the Word of God. And so they put laws on your pastor. So if I stand up here and tell you we should all vote for Mrs. Clinton, and I organize all of us to vote for Mrs. Clinton, and I made this movement to exalt one person, I would be in trouble. Our church would be sued. They would try to bring charges against me, and I would have to go wherever it is I got to go. What they've done is they've stopped the mouths of preachers. And they don't want the preacher to lead the people, because they know that church people will trust a man that preaches to them the Word of God.
That's
right. Amen? But here's what they can't stop. They can't stop me from telling you to vote for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, how do you do that? You look at the candidates, and you look and you pray as to which one will lead us in the way of righteousness the closest. Right now, as it looks like, none of them know which way to go. But that doesn't mean we sit on the sidelines. Now, here's what's happening. When a nation exalts themselves, they do it through their laws. It's one thing if the law on the book is righteous and you have people that misbehave. But it's another thing when a nation begins to sanction its laws. And when a nation begins to create laws against God's word, that nation is in trouble. So I've grown fond of our president. But even our president changed his voice and his tone. Our president was for marriage as defined in the Bible. Do you remember those days? I'll never forget the interview when he was sitting there and he said that he has evolved on his position. And now he no longer saw homosexual marriage or the lesbian and gay and transgender movement as wrong, and we should embrace it and we should accept it. And he has evolved. Since that point, he has led our nation in a direction. Our Supreme Court, the highest law in our land, has sanctioned those laws. I submit to you, those laws against traditional marriage are against God's word. And so as we are watching them evolve and exalt themselves to a sinful position, our nation's going to face reproach. Otherwise, God would owe Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. Or otherwise, Tyre and Zidon would need to be apologized to. Even the nation of Israel would need to be apologized. Our president may change his mind, but hallelujah, God's word never changes. This is our nation. Pastor, we agree 100% with you, but what can we do? Okay, you want to know what you can do? I'll tell you exactly what you can do. Would you go to Genesis chapter 6? Look very carefully. In Genesis chapter 6, we are going to go to Noah's day. We find that Jesus even said that as in the days of Noah, so was will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. When you look at verse number 11, the Bible says, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." Oh boy, is our world filled with violence. Our nation is filled with violence. "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And you know he created the flood. Noah was one man. What could Noah do? Look at verse 14. Make thee an, what's that word? Ark. Now, in the Old Testament, the ark is always a picture of who in the New Testament? Of Jesus. The ark was the savior for Noah. They had to come into the ark, which is a picture of Christ. The pitch is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. And so in that corrupt and violent world, God said to one man, ultimately, lift high the Lord Jesus. Pastor, we are one people, one person. What can we do for our nation? We can be witnesses of Jesus Christ. Number two, write this down. Romans chapter 10. We're never going to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ if we don't have a burden for our nation. Romans chapter 10, verse number 1. Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, that they might be saved. I pray that God would give us a burden and a desire for our nation to be saved, that we would pray accordingly to that. Let that burden break us. Look at Romans chapter 9, verse number 3. The apostle Paul says, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul was so burdened for his nation that he was willing to go to hell for his nation. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not willing to go to hell for the nation, but I want to be burdened and broken for our nation. We need to be burdened and broken for our nation. A biblical perspective will do that to you. We be witnesses of Christ. We have a burden for our nation. We're broken for our nation. Go, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. I've got two more and I'll be done. Philippians chapter 2. Look, if you would, at verse 15. Apostle Paul again writing to God's child, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Well, that sounds like where we live. Among whom ye shine as what, class? Lights. Lights in the world. So I can be a witness for Christ. We talked about that. I'm to be burdened and broken for my nation. That will bring me to my knees. I'm to be responsible as a light for the Lord. That means in my workplace, I'm to radiate Christ. In my neighborhood, I'm to radiate Christ. I'm to shine as a light of the Lord into a lost and dying world. And then I want you to go to 1 Peter because there's great encouragement here. 1 Peter chapter 2. Pastor, what can one man do? What can one person, one lady do to help our nation? Look, if you would, at verse number 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy, what's that word, class? Nation. All right, look at your preacher. You're not just one person. If you know the Lord Jesus, you are part of his church. Would you say amen if that's you? We're not just one person. We're a holy nation. We're a nation within a nation. What I preached to you last week was this. There is no more powerful organization on the earth than the church. As the Lord Jesus, through his Spirit, empowers and enables his people. Yeah, what can one person do? As an individual, you need to witness Christ. As an individual, you need to carry a burden, be broken for our nation and pray. As an individual, we need to be responsible to shine as a light. But we're not just one. We're a group of people. We're a holy nation. We're a corporate body of believers. And as for that, look what it says in verse number 9. That we're to show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It takes light to be able to see where to go. Pastor, our nation feels like it's blind and it's headed in the wrong direction. Well, could somebody turn the light on? Amen. And I go back to this point, class. If we as a church will surrender ourselves as a nation of people, as a nation of children of God, we could have influence. we could make a difference. God could use us. Now it's up to God what he wants to do to turn the nation. But God has a plan for you and God has a plan for us. If we'll just do our part, God will do his part. Amen? I love our nation. We need to pray for it. We need to be lights in it. And we need to understand that God can use the church to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. Shall we pray?